You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. The Healthy Michigan Plan launched in April 2014. It opened Medicaid rolls to hundreds of thousands of low-income people for the very first time, and no one was really quite sure what to expect. There were widely held fears that the flood of previously uninsured people would mean it would be tougher for everybody to get doctor's appointments, or that hospitals would be overloaded with seriously sick patients who, until then, didn't have insurance coverage. Well, here we are 2 years down the road, and there's enough data for experts to study and analyze. Let's see what really happened after expanding Medicaid under Healthy Michigan as we welcome Marianne Udall-Phillips, Director of the Center for Healthcare Research and Transformation at the University of Michigan Health System. Welcome.
Great to be here.
First, the public response to the Affordable Care Act and Healthy Michigan Medicaid expansion. More than 600,000 people signed up. That's 57% of the previously uninsured population. Did that outstrip expectations?
Oh, yes. You know, certainly in the time span that we're looking at here, that amount of people that enrolled was something we were projecting wouldn't happen for 5 years. So it was almost instantaneous in the state and really exciting for people to see how many people actually got enrolled. We did a great job as a state getting people into the program.
And then we know another 340,000 people bought private insurance through the state through the exchange. How did that fit with expectations?
That also exceeded our expectations. All of the projections that had been made for Michigan showed lower numbers of people enrolling in the health insurance exchange. So just generally, Michigan has done really well in getting people enrolled. And as a result, we've seen a very big drop in the number of people who are uninsured.
Well, then let's talk about those early fears before it all began, that doctors' offices and hospitals would be flooded with newly insured people and it would be hard to get an appointment. What actually happened?
We have not seen patients having difficulty getting appointments for primary care physicians or even specialists. In fact, we had done some projections. We did surveys before the Affordable Care Act went into effect and before the Medicaid expansion that said actually 80% of primary care physicians in our state were prepared to take new patients. And we've seen that is exactly what has happened. Most of them are taking Medicaid patients. They have room in their practices, and patients are not having difficulty getting primary care appointments.
We see Medicaid patients finding it easier than anyone thought it would be to get appointments in that 12-month period. I did see one statistic for people who had private insurance. They saw things shrink a little bit, 86% of clinics accepting new patients compared to 88% before the Medicaid expansion. Why did that tighten a little?
Well, it's just a change in the numbers of physicians that are available. We do have some physicians that are retiring. We have some that are changing their focus a little bit, but it's not a statistically significant change. Mm-hmm. It's pretty constant in terms of people of primary care, and 86% still very high rates of people being able to get primary care access.
What about the impact on admissions in hospitals in Michigan?
Well, we've seen, of course, a big change in who finances those admissions. We've seen a very significant drop in the percentage of people who are uninsured in our state. We've seen hospitals having more patients who have Medicaid enrollment, a 23% drop in uninsured bad debt charity care cases. So hospitals are doing quite well financially. And we've seen some increase in the care being provided because a number of the people who are getting insured did have some backlog of needs that are now being taken care of.
They're getting the care they need, but it was not a flood of people that crowded people out.
That's right. That's right. We still see, again, access to care in hospitals.
I want to break down just at the grassroots level to see what Healthy Michigan and the Medicaid expansion has meant for different groups of medical consumers. Let's start with low-income Michiganders.
Low-income Michiganders, again, many more people, as you said, more than 600,000 people who got added to the Medicaid rolls. We have about 1.7 million in traditional Medicaid. So that's a big growth in the Medicaid total population. We have almost a quarter of our state's population now enrolled in Medicaid. And for these people, many of them who were not eligible for any health insurance before, many of whom were uninsured, again, they're getting care that they've needed for a long time, and it's actually saved people's lives.
And then for someone who's had employer-provided health insurance, especially people that had it for a long time, how have they been affected?
Well, they haven't so much been affected by the Affordable Care Act. Many people under employer-sponsored health insurance have gotten somewhat broader coverage because the Affordable Care Act requires coverage of certain preventive services with no cost sharing. But we have seen a lot of changes for people who have employer-sponsored coverage. About half our state's population has employer-sponsored coverage. And for the most part, what they are seeing are higher deductibles and higher co-payments. That's been a trend that's been going on for a long time, predated the Affordable Care Act, but is certainly very prevalent now as almost a quarter of people with employer coverage have what's known as a high deductible health plan.
So we're shifting costs.
So we're shifting costs to consumers. And in fact, when you actually look at what's happened since the Affordable Care Act, we now have more people who we would consider to be underinsured than people who are uninsured. So we've done a great job in getting people coverage, but many of the people who have coverage have very high deductibles and copays, and they have difficulty affording care because of those copays and deductibles.
Is that because people who didn't buy on the exchange knowing what they were buying, or is it because of this shift in the employer-sponsored care?
It was predominantly because of the shift in the employer-sponsored care, because so many more people get coverage through employers. Only about 300 and so 1,000 people in our state get coverage through the exchange, but even they typically are buying plans with higher deductibles and copays. A lot of them, 80% or so of them, get some support for cost sharing to get those deductibles and copays lower. So it's more about what's happening in the employer market. And that has more to do with employers still trying to manage healthcare costs and shifting more of those costs to consumers.
Would we say there are any losers in all of this?
I wouldn't describe anyone as a loser in this. You know, this is something where we've really expanded care without significantly expanding costs. We continue to see healthcare cost trends that are moderate, in fact, lower than they were before the Affordable Care Act. We see many more people getting the care that they need. We haven't completely reformed the system yet. And this issue of the underinsured and people losing coverage is still a very significant problem. So we haven't solved all the problems, but I don't think we've seen really losers in the system as a result of these changes.
Now, I have seen reports over the year that not enough healthy young people were signing up on the exchanges. This was nationally, not specific to Michigan. Where are we with that?
We have seen a significant percentage of young, healthy people who have gotten enrolled. But if you're a health insurer, you want those young, healthy people. But actually, what you really want are people who have some chronic disease that can be better managed, because there are incentives in the way that funding works for you to take patients who are somewhat higher risk, but where you can actually improve the cost and the use of services and care. So we are doing a better job of getting people with some chronic disease in.
Sure, sure. Now, keeping an eye on what will be happening in November as the nation chooses a new president, what could the outcome of that election mean for the future of the ACA? And by that, I mean you've got people whose lives have been made better because they now have coverage where they didn't before, or you have people who do not like what has happened to their coverage because of the ACA, either in terms of having to pay for stuff they don't want or not being able to go to a doctor they want to see. So you've got both groups eyeing this and wondering, what, if anything, could a new president do to the Affordable Care Act?
Yeah, it's going to be really very fascinating to see what happens. Yeah. Of course, it so much depends on who gets elected. If we see Hillary Clinton elected, I think you'll see sort of a continuation of where we are now, depending on what happens in Congress. Actually, there's some people that are expecting that after this election, if Hillary Clinton wins, almost regardless of what happens in Congress, we might begin to see some movement on fixing some of the pieces that have been stalled on the Affordable Care Act. There's actually more bipartisan support to fix some of the components of the Affordable Care Act and live within this framework. And we're seeing some language around that out there in the political world. Now, if Donald Trump were elected president, I think we don't really know what would happen. He's not been particularly clear about what he would do with a health plan. He says he's opposed to the Affordable Care Act, but his alternative has not been made very clear. We do have a proposal from Paul Ryan just recently on behalf of the Republicans that would repeal many parts of the Affordable Care Act, still leave some of the framework in place, but repeal the Medicaid structure as it is, fundamentally change Medicare to more of a what's called a defined contribution, where you get a fixed amount of money and you have to buy coverage yourself. That would be a huge change in the way Medicare is delivered, and the individual mandate would go away under the Paul Ryan approach. So the Republicans still are proposing things that would radically change the Affordable Care Act and could, we think, cause many people who've had coverage lose that coverage in the future.
Marianne Udall Phillips, Director of the Center for Healthcare Research and Transformation at the University of Michigan Health System. Great to have you with us, as always.
And great to be here. Thanks, Cindy.